listening to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio is supported by Glenn's Garden Market, a local grocery store, deli, and craft beer bar with stores in DuPont Circle at 20th and S Streets and Shaw at 8th and Florida. Good food from close by.
Hi, welcome to The Leap, coming to you live from the Line Hotel in Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Sarah Gordon. I own a small business, Gordy's Pickle Jar, and one of my favorite things about being a small business owner is talking with and learning from other entrepreneurs. And every Wednesday, I get to have these conversations on air by bringing together small business owners from a wide range of disciplines to share stories, wisdoms, tips, and advice. On today's show, I'm super excited to chat with one of my favorite entrepreneurs, Danielle Vogel, founder of Glenn's Garden Market. Hey, Danielle.
Hey, Sarah.
Danielle is a lawyer turned first-time business owner. She launched Glenn's Garden Market 5 years ago with a great mission in mind: open a market stocked almost exclusively with items from the Chesapeake Bay watershed, an attempt to impact global climate change. Quite a feat. But I can attest as a vendor and a friend that she is doing one of a hell of a job. So happy to have you here, Danielle.
Thanks, Ben.
Before we talk about Glenn's, I wanted to chat a little bit about the road that led you here. Can you tell us a little bit about life before being an entrepreneur?
Absolutely. So my genetic coding predestined this result. My father was a grocer. His father was a grocer. My mom's dad was a grocer. This is a tradition that stretches back in my family 100 years on both sides. But it's something in which I had absolutely no interest whatsoever. I wanted to work for my hometown congressman, and I wanted to help him develop really progressive energy policy. And so when I graduated from college, that's exactly what I did. I went to Capitol Hill. I worked for my hero, Christopher Shays from Connecticut. And I learned pretty quickly that he took advice from the last lawyer he spoke with before he cast his vote. So I decided I should probably become a lawyer. So I went to law school, finished as quickly as I could so I could get right back to the Hill. And in the meantime, he lost re-election. So that was a bad play. And so I ended up taking a job at the Department of Justice. I was an environmental litigator for a little while, enforcing the Clean Air Act. And I just did not enjoy the pace of litigation. We were, you know, fighting over claims from the 80s and were standing in court well after 2000. And that just seemed not fast enough for my palate. So I went back to the Hill. I went to the Senate to work for Senator Lieberman, handling climate change for him. And we worked together for about 2.5 years. We drafted the last major Senate climate change bill, which failed pretty miserably. And I decided at that point that I had to find a way to make incremental climate change progress in the absence of any possibility of large-scale legislative change. And so on Earth Day of 2013, we opened our doors to Glenn's Garden Market in DuPont. And it is in every single way a climate change agent. So every single decision we make for Glenn's is made with the environment in mind.
Progress one bite at a time.
Exactly, my friend. We're making progress one bite at a time by serving good food from close by.
Love it.
So that's how I got here. It's a very weird, indirect path to a fate certain but unknown by me in my earlier years.
So you had no desire when you were younger?
None.
At all?
I am probably one of the least profit-motivated people you'll ever meet. That I ended up in private industry makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever.
Right, and working, you know, in a grocery store.
All that.
Yeah.
All that.
So what was it like? I mean, it's a huge leap. I mean, from taking, you know, from working in Congress to opening a store with such a great mission is a big one. How'd you do it?
I think if I had thought it through, I would have listened to my uncles who were saying, don't do this, it's too hard. But instead, I was just the most stubborn person on earth, and I was adamantly dedicated to this concept of making incremental progress. So we did it, you know, through resilience, grit, and sheer force of might. A grocery store is a really complex organism. You're dealing with not only all of the people that need to work in the store to make it function properly, but all of the perishables on their various schedules of going bad, that, you know, you're having to navigate hundreds of, at this point, thousands of relationships with individual vendors that have their own production schedules and distribution and delivery. And then it finally gets there and you've got to figure out how to sell it. So we've got a craft beer bar, a deli, and a grocery store, basically three businesses under one roof, and nobody knows what they're doing. So this was like true startup central right. at the beginning.
Well, let's back up a little bit. You're not an average grocery store. I mean, you went into this with, you know, I mean, you guys use all wind energy. You are almost exclusively, you sell almost exclusively local products. You don't use paper bags, plastic bags. I mean, this is incredible.
Yeah, it's like Portlandia in real life here in Washington, D.C. That is true. So every single decision we make is mission driven. And the mission manifests in a really delicious and beautiful grocery store. So what we've done is we've created what I like to think of as almost a climate change progress snow globe, where when people step into the space, any decision they make is progress forward. If a product is in our shelves, it's because it meets our values. If a piece of equipment is in our building, it's because it's the most energy efficient on the market, and then we retrofit it to make it more energy efficient when it gets there. If we turn on a light in a bathroom, that light is powered. We used to be wind. We actually converted to 100% solar. It's solar powered. Like you said, we put out absolutely no food waste whatsoever. So, and we don't have any paper or plastic bags. So everybody uses reusable bags. So we've made all of those choices in advance. And for 5 years, we didn't talk about it because it was more important to me that people join us in this mission to make incremental climate change progress than that they knew they were doing it. And frankly, one of my favorite things was to watch my former conservative Senate colleagues sitting at the bar drinking beer. And it's kind of like, you know, joke's on you, dude. Keep drinking. You have no idea how progressive you're being, but I do.
That's great. So, I mean, how did this all kind of affect the bottom line? You know, because this, you know, buying the most energy efficient equipment and all these things, they come at a price.
Right. And as you know, the path to fame and fortune is paved with independent grocery stores. It's a very easy way to make lots and lots of money. Super psych. It is like one of the hardest industries.
It's like being a pickle producer.
Yeah, right. It's probably, you probably have some
rolling
sense
in it.
Yeah, I mean, to put it in perspective, if everything is going well, we stand to make a profit of 1/3 of 1 penny for every dollar in sales. So it's not a huge margin business, and we're playing this game on the level extra hard. So I'll tell you point blank, these decisions are not good for the bottom line. But
they're good for the environment.
Yeah, I mean, we're not here for the bottom line. We're here for the mission. And if we can continue to do it and continue to exist, I like to say we're profit proximate.
this
isn't like your standard like profit motivated company. There's none of that in our DNA. But we measure our progress in terms of progress made rather than profits earned.
So amazing. So did you have any mentors when you first started out? Like, what advice did they give you? I remember seeing Danielle, like, early on. She would come to the farmer's market, and she'd be like, hey, you know, I'm opening up this grocery store. And
I'd beg you to sell to me. And you're like, I have no idea who you are. But your check clears.
And then
fine.
To see Glenn's Garden Market, you know, up here and now two locations, she's just kind of blown my mind and a lot of other people's in the D.C. area.
Thank you.
So who were your mentors, and what advice did they give you?
Absolutely. That is absolutely critical because, again, no roadmap, no playbook, no freaking clue what we were doing. But what I do have going for me is that even though my family has been out of the grocery business since the early 80s, they all grew up in it. So in the days before we opened the stores, my uncles are standing in that deli sticker and meat. They sure were. So I've got one uncle in particular. His name is Jay. He was my dad, Glenn's second in command at the Food Emporium. And he has helped me from concept through all the way through execution. Every time I have a tough problem, I call him. He's been in the food industry for 50 years. He was inducted into the Grocers Hall of Fame 2 years ago. That's a thing.
Nice.
He's in it. It was super.
You're on your way there, I think.
Yeah, right. Sure. Barreling toward acclaim. But he has been like extremely helpful and instrumental from the start, from vetting the business plan for me to helping me develop the first budgets to even, you know, he was my muscle in the final stages of the lease negotiation. So he's been a wonderful asset to me. And literally every one of my other uncles has been involved in grocery some way or another. I've had a deep bench to rely on. The one thing is none of them are here in DC, so it's not like they're helping me on a daily basis, but when things are tough, I call on them. And that's been invaluable.
So you also have this group of grocers that you're part of a collaborative with, right?
Yeah. Thank you for reminding me. That is probably one of the most fruitful professional relationships I've ever had. So there is an organization called the Good Food Foundation. And every year they put on the Good Food Awards. You may be familiar with them because you win every single year. So the idea of the Good Food Awards is we're trying to identify and celebrate crafters that have a commitment to sustainability and community. So these are people that really are doing it right. Not the easy way, the hard way, but the right way. So for instance, your smoker won this year, and I know you won for your sweet chips. And you're there getting a medal around your neck every single year. But the Good Food Awards are put on by a group of grocers kind of like me. So we're talking about the folks that are doing it the hard way all over the country, and the very, very best in the business at it. So number one, first and foremost, BuyRight in San Francisco, which is owned by Sam McGannum. He founded this collaborative of grocers.
And he's a guy to follow. He's just absolutely incredible.
He's a visionary. Yeah. He's my muse. I mean, my hero in the industry. He's so smart and does it so well and treats his people so well. And by his people, I mean his employees, his vendors, and his community. Yeah. Really, like, is leading the way.
Every time I go to San Francisco, it's a must stop in. It's like going to church.
Yeah, that's exactly. I took a picture. She's referencing a Facebook post of mine from when I was out there a couple weeks ago. I posted a picture of his store with the caption, "I took myself to church." Thank you. But so he's got a couple of stores and he leads this thing. And then Canyon Market in San Francisco and DeBruno Brothers in Philadelphia and Shed out in Healdsburg, and really like the very best in the business are all a part of this collaborative of folks that are united in our dedication to well-made food. And so I'm the chairwoman of the steering committee, and we meet a couple of times a year about sort of how we thrive in a post-Amazon framework, and how we continue to nourish our neighborhoods with food made within them.
Do you see, like, as you guys, you know, since it's been founded, kind of more grocers wanting to get in and kind of live the same mission?
Definitely. We started with 11 of us, and now we've got just under 25.
Oh, that's awesome.
But we're building the movement very mindfully because we are very open with all of our information. We even trade staff from time to time. We open our books to each other. We help each other with strategic advice. So obviously there's some sensitivity to not bringing competitors within our own markets. While there is also a pressure to grow the movement and grow the group so that we can have more insight and more impact.
That's incredible. I mean, that's priceless.
Yeah, these are the best days of the year for me are the days I get to spend with those grocers, because they're fighting the exact same fights in real time, with the exact same pressures and complications. So
what do you guys meet up once a year?
Three times a year.
Oh, awesome.
Because so we do a retreat once a year, and then we do a couple of different mercantile shows where they're kind of trade shows for the kind of producers that we believe in and support, the kind of folks that won Good Food Awards.
So I want to talk a little bit about, I feel like you've done such an incredible job kind of giving, navigating the grocery space and giving customers and the neighborhood inevitably what they want. And it's been amazing to see you. You know, I remember the first day that I walked into Glen's Garden Market, and I was like, you know, like, you know, being like, I really hope that this store makes it.
Yeah. But we didn't have much on our shelves, and we didn't have bananas and also no avocados and all that stuff you were there for.
Yeah, but you still just did an incredible job of kind of, I don't know, working with staff and then making sure that the customers were getting what they wanted, just to see you kind of be so flexible and just putting your customers and the neighborhood at the top of what you do. And
thank you for noticing that.
Yeah, I feel like you've created this amazing community.
So it was a very conscious choice. So I want to approach that from two different angles. Number one is the stores are small. DuPont is 5,000 square feet, Shaw's 3,500 square feet. And because we're so mindful about our product sourcing and selection, we'll never sell things like Duncan Hines or Coca-Cola or Cheerios. And so because we can't compete on sheer volume of product mix, and because we're only dealing with small batch producers and inevitably cannot therefore compete on price, we choose instead to compete on experience. So we have a series of service standards and values that truly truly defined the culture of Glens Garden Market. It's, again, it's the way we interact with each other, with our neighbors. We call our customers our neighbors, and with our community and our vendors. And so when you walk into the space, you're always warmly greeted. We make an effort to go out of our way to exceed your expectations. We are flexible and innovative. We don't always do what we always do. And these values are really like very, very entrenched in the experience you have in the space. Because again, we can't necessarily sell you the brand of bottled water you might have been looking for, or the power bar. Like, those are just not things you're going to find on our shelves. So we choose to compete on a really unique and exciting experience.
Yeah, and as a customer, I can't tell you how excited I am to not find a power bar on your shelf.
Power bars, please. And then, you know, the other thing that we do is we really work hard to create a diversified product mix. So we'll turn 5 years old in April on Earth Day. And woo-hoo! in the nearly 5 years that we've been open, we've launched at this moment in time 78 local small food businesses that share our values.
78. Wow.
Got their start on our shelves. Of those 78, 43 are owned by women and 52 produce within the District of Columbia. So when I say that we launched these businesses, I mean everything from, you know, we simply gave them their first shot at retail to, in some cases, we have really, you know, deep and fruitful mentorship relationships. We're helping some of them with packaging design, with flavor profile development, with getting distribution. In some cases, I've invested personally in their growth. In other cases, we've traded equipment to help them scale for inventory.
Definitely unique for a grocer. You're not getting that from every grocer.
Definitely not. And to be clear, we're not taking any kind of equity for this. It's a very, very symbiotic relationship. And the idea is that if we can identify and then incubate and accelerate these small brands, then we are really advancing the mission and the movement, because we're helping them displace demand for industrially produced food. So when these guys are able to get their feet under them at our stores and create economies of scale, then they can get onto the stores of the real grocery stores. Onto the shelves of the real grocery stores. And when they do it, they're kicking off less mindfully made food. And that's kind of how the tentacles of the Glens movement extend beyond our four walls.
Wow. So we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with Danielle from Glens Garden Market.
Support for The Leap and Full Service Radio comes from Glens Garden Market, a climate progress motivated grocery store, deli, and craft beer bar with stores in DuPont Circle at 20th and S Streets and Shaw at 8th and Florida. With $4 local draft beers, fresh house-made salads and sandwiches, and the very best locally sourced groceries, making environmental progress has never been easier or more delicious. Visit glensgardenmarket.com for more. And also, today's music is courtesy of Kido, K-I-E-D-O. Check them out on SoundCloud. That's K-I-E-D-O. Be right back.
If you're just joining us, this is Sarah Gordon, live from the Line Hotel, talking to Danielle Vogel of Glens Garden Market. So Danielle, back to what makes Glens is so awesome is that they grow small businesses alongside their own. Can you tell us just a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So this is my single favorite part of the job, to be honest with you. So I'll tell you a story. My father founded a company called Food Emporium, which was a big chain in the New York area. And after he sold the Food Emporium, he opened up a single independent grocery store. And I vividly remember going to his office before they opened the doors one day, and there were just samples, like floor-to-ceiling samples. And I was like, you got the best job in the world. People are sending you free food all day. I was like, how did they even know you were opening a store? And he said, you know, Danielle, like, I'm Glenn Rosengarten. When I do something, people want to be involved. And I thought, that is so cool. And I'll never forget the first time I got home and found samples waiting for me on my step from somebody that wanted to be involved with this thing. I thought that was such a cool full circle moment. But the notion of growing these small businesses along with our own really is about nourishing the neighborhoods that we serve with the food made by people that live within their own community. It truly is a taste of what is happening around you. Glenn's is a microcosm of the small food movement. And at a moment when Amazon is buying Whole Foods and they're, you know, whole body aisle looks a lot more like CVS these days than it used to, there is a space in the food community for mindfully made small batch craft food that people care about. And, you know, we don't have a Cisco truck backing up to our stores ever. Most of our inventory walks through the front doors in the arms of the person that made it. You know, when you and Sheila deliver pickles to Glenn's, you always do it at like 7 because you're also coming for a pizza pie. Right. And everybody knows who you are, and you come in with your pickles, you carry them in yourself, you put them in the walk-in, and then you grab dinner and you sit down and you chat. And that's what makes Glenn's so special, you know?
Like, I definitely always raise my hand for taking things to Glenn's. So I'll be like, I'll do it because I know I'm going to get a pie and some other goodies.
But you want to hang out and be a part of it because it's not a store, it's a community. And you know, you were one of the first people I had a vendor relationship with, and I sort of begged you for it because you were Sarah Gordon of Gordon's Pickles. And I had to have them. But that's the difference. You know, it's that difference of the folks that work in my stores, we call them our locals. They know the names of the vendors. They're excited when you introduce something new or when you win a good food award. They're walking around with swagger that you won a good food award. And that's because we're really connected to the people that make the food on our shelves.
Yeah. How is like, I mean, the small batch kind of people producing food here in DC has kind of exploded in the last 5 years. So mm-hmm. that has to be,
it's great,
really beneficial for you and for them, you know, to have a Glenn's like here to kind of mentor them, to get them on the shelf. And, you know, because once you land that first grocery store account, which for a lot of people is Glenn's, it just kind of gives you momentum and you're pumped and you're like, I could do this. And it's just, it's really empowering. So has like Mess Hall and Uni Kitchen, which are incubators here in DC, kind of helped you like find those people?
Without a doubt. Yeah. There is a like true, deep, and critical symbiosis between folks like me and then folks like Cullen and Al, who run respectively Union Kitchen and Mess Hall. And in the years that we've been open, there have been several more that have popped up. And these commercial kitchens, for listeners that may not know what that concept is all about, are places where there are certified industrial kitchens where folks that are sort of testing out food concepts can rent cooking equipment by the hour and refrigeration space to figure out whether or not their concept is going to be viable. So rather than having to build their own kitchen or find somewhere to produce, this is a place where they can really sort of dip their toe in the water and figure out whether the food product is going to survive in the marketplace. And so the availability of commercial kitchen space in DC is absolutely fundamentally critical to us being able to do what we do.
Right.
And the fact that several more have opened up and that Union Kitchen opened a second location in Ivy City has been critical to us. In fact, tonight I'm going to be going down to Union Kitchen Ivy City to judge a business plan competition. I did the same last month and I found another woman-owned business that we launched last weekend, Sip City.
Awesome.
Yeah, these two like adorable women that are making this delicious switchel. My favorite is called The District. But each of them have a connection to a place that they've lived and that's meaningful to them. But
I can't wait to taste it.
Yeah, so we were for a very long time Union Kitchen's biggest customer. So we're buying more than anybody else coming out of Union Kitchen, but we also have a relationship where when they identify a brand that's really kind of ready to get that grocery client for the first time, they reach out to us, and we're often the ones to launch the brands coming out of Union Kitchen and Mess Hall and Scratch.
So what business plan competition are you going to judge this year?
Oh, so tonight Union Kitchen has an accelerator program where they identify people that are kind of most likely to scale quickly, and they give them mentorship and financial advice and all that good stuff. They often give them placement within their own grocery stores. And so at the beginning of each accelerator class, there's a night when all of the new accelerator participants do a pitch to, you know, folks of sort of interest and means. So it's a lot of people that are angel investors and that sort of thing, and then folks like me who would be helpful to them.
So or is it only people that... like rent space at Uni Kitchen that could be a part of it, or is it any business like kind of in the area?
You know, I honestly don't know the answer to that question, but I would suspect you would have to be a Uni Kitchen client. Yeah, right. I would imagine. Yeah.
So this is a good segue to talk about some exciting news from Glenn's. So I'm going to let Danielle kind of talk about what's next for Glenn's and how they plan to celebrate their 5-year anniversary.
Thank you, Sarah. So we're turning 5 on Earth Day, and right now I mentioned we're at 78 businesses launched. We're hoping that by Earth Day we can get to 100, and we're hoping we can get that number of women-owned businesses from 43 to 50 in the next couple of months. But whether or not we do that, we want to really take a stand and wrap our arms around the female food community of Washington, D.C. So we're going to be hosting our first ever Accelerate Her D.C. business competition.
Accelerate Her.
Oh, hey.
Oh, I love that.
And so the way it's going to work is women business entrepreneurs that have been around for between 1 and 5 years are eligible to enter. The judging criteria are going to include things like, number one, most important, is the food delicious? Number two, how have they demonstrated a commitment to sustainability? And then the obvious things, is the concept viable and scalable? We've got a number of like real badass ladies who have agreed to judge this thing. Sarah, you are one of them. Thank you.
Can't wait.
Sarah Pollan from Supergirl is going to join us. Hillary Lewis from Lumi is going to join us. Kiko Bourne, who got her start at Byright, which we talked about a little bit earlier. V from Gutei Tonics. And Anne Yang from Misfit Juicery. So really like an amazing set of women are going to be looking over these applications. We're going to open up the application process on March 1st. It'll be open for a month. First round of judging will be April 8th, and then we're going to do a live pitch competition at our Earth Day birthday party on April 22nd at Glenn's DuPont, and the winner is going to earn a $5,000 investment from Glenn's Garden Market and a year-long professional mentorship with me, with our marketing director, Shauna Muhammad, and with our head grocery buyer and department head, Merrill Dagg. In addition to that, the Good Food Foundation has very generously donated entry to their mercantile in Brooklyn. So we'll also give the winner a chance to show their wares to the very best independent specialty grocers in the country the day before the Fancy Food Show in July.
Wow.
So it should be pretty cool.
We just turned 6, so we're not contenders, but...
Sarah, here's what you don't need, my help.
But
you're
wow.
So beyond
so
me.
Awesome. So awesome that you're doing this. And, you know, for everybody that's just started a business, definitely, you know, await for the information and be a part of this, because it's really awesome.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to kind of have you give some tips to our listeners and advice about starting a business, because, you know, starting a business is incredibly taxing on your time, mm-hmm. your emotional resources, your finance, and your life, you know. So what kind of tips and advice would you give to someone that's wants to start a business?
So first and foremost, it requires grit, resilience, and sheer force of might. If you're not sure, don't do it, because starting a business means you are relinquishing weekends, evenings. Work-life balance equals 12 hours of work, 12 hours of not work a day. That's it. The days will be at least 12 hours long. But when you're
saying if you're looking for work-life
balance, this is not the path to happiness. But I would say, honestly, like just from a practical perspective, there are a couple of things you have to be sure you have. One of them is the amount of working capital you think you need times 2. Because our stores are brick and mortar, but regardless of that, you will not have a client base the day you open your doors or your website or whatever else your form of commerce is. You have to be able to fund yourself and your payroll and your production long beyond the day you open your doors. You will not make money from day one. And then number 2, for me, I'm a lawyer. My math skills are terrible. So a great accountant was critical to me. And not just an accountant that understands your industry, that can give you like valuable advice and understands the decisions that you're making on a really fundamental level.
Yeah. I remember when you hired the new company, you're like, wow, this is like
everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Matt Hedrick is my accountant.
Yeah.
I highly recommend him.
Yeah.
He knows everything, and he's kept us that when the day we hired him, he said, you got have 8 months to live, and it's 4 years later and we're finally in a good spot. So he helped turn us around.
Right. Yeah. So capital
and financial advice. Yes. And then a shoulder to cry on is probably a good thing.
Right?
There's a bit of that.
Yeah. So you just don't have your head up against the wall, tears coming down. Well, you've done such an incredible job, Danielle. I mean, I couldn't be prouder to be a Glenn's Garden Market shopper and a vendor. We were so pumped when we got a, you know, Glenn's Garden Market shawl because it's like just on the block from our house. And so we're I know DC is so excited to see what you do next, and we're rooting for a couple more Glens.
Thank you, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, DC. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO. On Instagram and Facebook @Full Service Radio. Thanks for listening.